Welcome, everyone. I am Johnny Christ, and this is the Drinks with Johnny podcast. Thank you guys so much for tuning in another week. And congratulations to the two teams, the Kansas City Chiefs and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, for making it to Super Bowl 55. That's in 2 weeks. Incredible for both those teams and both those quarterbacks. Wow. Really excited to see this matchup for Super Bowl. Obviously, I am a football fan. It is not either one of my teams, but hey, I enjoy watching the game. So congratulations to both of those teams. Super Bowl 55 is going to be the first Super Bowl where a team will be hosting as a home stadium. It's the first time it's ever happened. Of course, leave it to Tom Brady to do that, to be the first to pull that off. Congratulations to them, and I can't wait for the match, the Super Bowl game coming on February 7th, which is actually my son's birthday. He's going to be turning 4. Man, time flies. Time flies right here at Drinks with Johnny, too, as we bring you another throwback episode. That's right, we're going to go back to April 30th of 2020, the year that was the midst of the pandemic. This was that I had this wonderful, wonderful conversation from a live episode with All Elite Wrestling's CEO, Tony Khan. Absolute blast, a very good dude. Actually become quite good friends with him over the last while, just through virtually, of course. I haven't made my way over to Florida just yet to say hi. I can't wait till I can actually do that and have a drink with Tony in person. This conversation was really fun for me. We get to get into everything All Elite. They were leading up for the Double or Nothing pay-per-view back in May. This was leading up to that, so there was a lot of cool things that were happening in AEW. We also talk a little bit about Tony Khan and his dad and as owners of another Florida football team in the Jacksonville Jaguars, who have a very interesting offseason coming up here for all you sports fans. Are they going to take Trevor Lawrence? Seems like the logical explanation for having that first round pick and getting Dabo Swinney as the head coach. And they got a slew of picks, so we'll see what happens with Tony Khan and the ownership over at the Jacksonville Jaguars. We get into a little bit of that. This was a quicker chat, one of our live ones, as I said, that we're throwing back to. You could check that out on the Drinks with Johnny YouTube channel. You can see us chatting live. Some things I remember from this episode as I go back. I'm having a lot of fun going back to these. I hope you guys are too. It's just fun to see the progression of Drinks with Johnny and these conversations we're having. 24 minutes was this one, about a half hour, and then we turned off the live button and went on and had a wonderful conversation with Tony. It lasted another 2 hours. I was drinking White Claws with this guy virtually. Neither one of us wanted to get off the phone, and it was so much fun. And I can't wait, as I said, to have those drinks with him in person again, have more of a chat. If you haven't already, when you're done listening to this episode, go find the Tony Khan episode in the archive right here. Make sure you're subscribed to the podcast as well while you're listening here. And just go back and listen to that one if you haven't. We take a deeper dive into everything that we touch a little bit upon right here on this live episode. I do remember that afterward I sent Tony the recording from the episode, and he was, you know, as I send it to everybody, asking, is there anything you want me to take out that you felt, you know, strongly about? And he was like, no, but man, why was I yelling so much in that episode? So go back and listen to that. You'll see he was pretty hyped. I think it was the first time both of us were able to talk to someone outside of business or anything like that, where we were just having some fun. So that's definitely one you want to check out. Without further ado, though, I'm going to give you guys this live throwback episode with All Elite Wrestling CEO Tony Khan. Hey, what's up, everybody? I'm Johnny Christ, and this is Drinks with Johnny Live. And let's keep that going for my co-host, Slim Bob. How you doing over there, man? He doesn't have a lot to say, but he's gotten me through these difficult times. Thank you so much, Slim Bob. I love you. You're a little creepy, but you make me happy. Yeah, thanks for checking out the show, guys. Hope you all are staying safe, healthy, and sane in these crazy times. Also, let's go ahead and give applause and thank all the essential workers out there, frontliners that are doing their best to keep us safe, healthy, and well-fed at that. So a lot of times I start off this show with a little cocktail of some kind, but I'm gonna skip that today and just go ahead and bring in my guest. I have a very special guest. He is the CEO of All Elite Wrestling. Let's just bring him on. He doesn't need that much more of an intro. Tony Khan, how are you doing today, man?
Hey, Johnny, I'm very well. It's great to see you. It's
great to see you too, man. This is fantastic.
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, I see you got that really, really great background over there. Where are you out in the world right now?
I'm in Jacksonville, Florida. Okay. We had the NFL draft, and I also run AEW out of Jacksonville.
Oh, okay.
So it's a multitask out of the same office.
That's rad, man. That's rad. So is everyone safe and healthy in your camp? Everyone's good?
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for asking. Thankfully, everybody's doing very well. Family and staff and everybody's doing really well. Thank you.
That's fantastic. That's great to hear.
Thanks.
So we talked very briefly on the phone yesterday, and then I was texting with a mutual friend of ours, Chris Jericho, and I found that you have an affinity for White Claw. Do you have White Claw on hand with you right now?
I have a White Claw. I have a White Claw right here.
You know, let me grab mine. Let me grab mine real quick. Grab it out of the fridge right there. All right, we got to crack these together, though. You ready? You ready to crack a claw, Brando? All right, 1, 2, 3, crack that claw. All right, cheers,
great, man. Cheers to you.
These things are great, aren't they? What flavor you got?
I have a mango, and to be honest, like mango and black cherry, I kind of, after the draft was over, went through the flavors I really like.
And now you're stuck with the mango. Okay, I got it.
We drank all the raspberries and pink grapefruits and limes around. So yeah. That's what I got left. I was actually drafting from home. But it's like really close between where I live and my office here. So for the NFL draft last week, they had like all the teams and all the executives operating out of our homes, which is nice.
Yeah, I saw that. It must have been a little bit more lax. I mean, it's still a pretty hectic time for you, I got to imagine.
It's a crazy time for everybody, and what's cool for me is I got to see my dad because I hadn't like been, we talk every day, but I didn't see my dad in person in like almost 2 months.
Because
my mom and dad are kind of in the at-risk group. They're 69 and 70, so I didn't want to expose them to any like germs I'd been around, and so I isolated for a few weeks before the draft. And the first time my dad and I had seen each other since NFL committee meetings in like the beginning of March was just last week, which was really nice.
Yeah, wow, that must have been really cool. Well, again, thank you so much for being on the show. I know you're a busy guy. You got all these things we're going to get into here, at least as much as we can with the time we've got. So appreciate that. Obviously mentioned the draft was last week. I noticed with the first two picks, you went out and replaced Ramsey, and I'm going to butcher his name, Gokwe.
I wouldn't say that. I mean, we pick players that play, you know, important positions on our defense, but definitely
and forgive my ignorance on how it works behind the scenes on the draft, but were you targeting these two guys in the first round for sure, or were they, when it came down to it, was it, these are the best guys left on the board, we got to take them no matter what position they're at?
Well, we spent months getting ready, and after like months of getting ready, we talked the night before the draft with my dad and Dave Caldwell, the GM of the Jags, and Doug Marrone, the head coach of the Jags. And, my dad owns a club, and I am in charge of all the stats and analytics.
Yeah.
So I use data and analysis to try and identify players that, have a good chance of succeeding, and try to find like red flags on different players in the process too.
Wow.
And it's really fun. I really enjoy doing it. And, the players we drafted were players that we talked about extensively on Wednesday night in our conversations. It was really cool. And those positions were definitely identified as positions of need, but those specific two players were really the guys that we had talked about on Wednesday night that we thought, this could break our way and we'd have a chance to get these two great players.
That's great. So That's another behind the scenes question I have for that. Like, I'm sure it's not this way, but I gotta imagine. Do you have like other friendships with other owners, or is everyone just out to get each other on draft day?
We have friendships with all 31 of the other owners, and my dad is really close to the other owners, and I have a lot of friends who are owners, and we're on committees and we work together to promote the league and grow the sport.
Is it just a friendly game of poker on draft day? You got everyone just holding their hands close to the vest?
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. But you know what's cool is you can't really trade cards with your friends in a big poker game. And if you're playing cards with 32 people, especially with your closest friends, you might go out and swap picks or do different things. And because we had swapped a lot of picks around, we were fortunate where we had like 12 draft picks through the seven rounds. So we accumulated a lot of other picks through trades and got a lot of really good young players we're excited about. So it was, it was a really big week.
Do you have any, you know, inside knowledge going in draft day? I mean, you, obviously your analytics and what you're hoping to drop your way, but is there any like insider information between the other owners? You're like, hey, who are you taking and who are you taking? So all the owners know, or?
I feel like there's a lot of gossip in both the owner community, but honestly, I probably spend more time in the scouting and because I work in player personnel on day-to-day basis. So like I do communicate with the other owners. I also work in football, so I deal with like, you know, talk to other general managers, scouts. I go to the scouting combine. I go to a ton of college football games and scout games. And a lot of times people are like, yeah, like, do you go to the games? I'm like, yeah, I work at the games. And like,
that makes sense.
I love it. And, I also work on the football side. So, you know, in terms of like being in there for like voting on rules or, you know, going to, like I said, the scouting combines where we go to evaluate and interview players and go to the Senior Bowl to do that. Evaluate players this year with.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. The Corona, it was just like a huge emphasis on the scouting combine and the Senior Bowl this year. Usually we go to schools and we interview people firsthand and work people out at their college, or you bring a certain amount of people every year to your facility. Like, you know, you'd bring people to Jacksonville. But this year, you weren't really able to do that. So everything you got done before mid-March was like very, very valuable work.
Wow. So you guys felt pretty good about what you had done before March, obviously. And congratulations on your draft. I could ask the question, how do you feel about your draft? But I'm sure you feel pretty damn good about it.
Yeah, I feel like everybody, like, you know, they drafted the players they like best. I think everyone kind of generally likes their draft. If you don't, it's probably not a good sign if we're like, it was last week and you're already regretting stuff.
Yeah, I'm not really sure about this. We're just kind of flipping coins over.
Yeah, but I'm feeling really well. Thank you for asking.
Yeah, so if you're out doing a lot of the scoutings and watching the games and stuff, you're pretty close to a lot of the players, right? So you have these relationships. Forgive me, but when we go back to Gakwe there, I saw that you guys had a little bit of a Twitter beef going back and forth a minute ago.
I can't comment on that. He's great, and I have had a great relationship with him in the past, and I haven't seen him in person in a while, but I like him a lot as a person, and I like him a lot as a player, and I've always really gotten along with him very well.
So hats off to him and in the rest of his career, and you guys are ready to move forward, and no harm, no foul.
He plays here for us, and he's somebody I've always had a great relationship with, and he's still a person who's with us, and I like him a lot, and I think he's a great player. We'll see what happens.
That's great. Let's shift. Oh no! Before we shift, I wanted to ask you, amidst the COVID-19 corona, you just touched upon it about a little bit. How confident and how much information do you have that the season is going to start on time, with or without a crowd or minimal crowd? What are you hearing about that, and what are your hopes?
I'm hoping that you know, there'll be games, but I don't know, and I can't really comment at this time. Mm-hmm. I don't think we have enough information to say what's going to happen. I think all the sports leagues are working and trying to figure out the best way forward.
Yeah. I know you don't really know yet, but what are you guys, is there anything you're discussing currently with the other owners that maybe, that's something you're excited to do, like, maybe not excited is the word, but promising in any way of a way that it could continue?
I mean, we're just working on, like, you know, what we can do in terms of precautions, best practices, and I'm trying to do those same things at AEW and with the Jaguars and with Fulham, and I think with all of our players, or in the case of AEW, and all of our wrestlers, you know, just make sure that it's just the safest possible environment where people feel comfortable coming in.
Absolutely.
And so, right now, I think everybody's just looking at what's out there in terms of the best technologies for testing and the best methodologies for, you know, a safe path forward for everybody.
Yeah. No, I imagine that's, I'm sure everyone's working really hard on that. And I thank you for that, because the way you guys have handled an AEW has been pretty awesome. I've been watching that very closely as a big fan. Thank you for going out there and buying up this company and bringing it to TNT and everything and creating it rather than buying it, creating this company. Because it's really brought back some fandom to wrestling for me. I grew up on wrestling, as I'm sure you did, and there was a time there where I just really wasn't paying attention anymore. And, you know,
so with you're friends like with Chris. You're friends with Chris.
Yeah, very good. I've known Chris for about 12 years now. We've done a bunch of festivals together and stuff in his band Fozzy and been out to a lot of stuff when he was with the WWE. And, yeah, I had a chat with him a couple of weeks ago. And, he was talking about how you guys had to film, like, several episodes out right now because you can't actually get the guys together right now. What's that trajectory looking like for you guys when you could get more shows? Because you don't want to run out of those pre-taped that you already got, right?
Well, we actually, we're live next week. So
Right.
We're back with a live show next week. So Chris is coming back to the ring. Chris has a street fight next week. The shows we did, we got through. Chris and everybody who came in and worked those shows, I was so thankful. Like, I can't thank them enough. Because the shows we've done over the last month, I think they were great. And, you know, we came off last night's show. We had a huge lift in our young audience, and we were up 19% in the 18 to 34.
Congratulations. That deserves a laugh track, or a clap track, rather. That's congratulations, man. Yo,
I appreciate it.
I was watching, actually, and it was a great show, man. You started off heavy with Cody and Darby and ended with Lance and the other Rhodes, Dustin, the Hall of Famer. And no, I mean, and all throughout, a very entertaining. Of course, I'd be a fool not to mention a little bit of the bubbly segment. That was pretty epic. I texted Chris immediately after I saw it, and I was like, that was hilarious. That was awesome. That was well done. If any of you haven't seen it, Chris and the guys came up with this thing where they're punching each other through their phones, basically, and kicking each other's ass. And there's some great cameos that come out of it.
It was kind of a parody, I think, of like the stuntman video that had gone viral. And Chris is like a genius at these videos, and Chris is constantly reinventing himself. And I think, yeah, under these like difficult circumstances, the past month, Chris has been like amazing at keeping people entertained, like, and innovating and finding new ways to do it. Like, you know, through these shows, as you know, I saw Chris on commentary. It's just incredible.
Dude, his commentary has been rad. I mean, even especially him with Tony Schiavone, which thank you for bringing that guy back into the world. Tony Schiavone was a childhood thing that I was hearing in my ears every week on Monday Nitro. You know, like, it was so cool to see him back in the industry and doing that.
So you're a big wrestling fan, like, growing
huge,
up.
Huge.
What did you watch? You watched Nitro?
I watched Nitro. I was one of the ones that flipped back and forth between Raw and Nitro. I was just like stoked. On the West Coast, because they would run live at different times, I was able to go back and forth and get Nitro and Raw. And to me, that was like, to have that going on in wrestling in a moment, like, and they were both going neck and neck, and it was such this battle that it just brought out the best in the talent in my eyes. And yeah, the storylines just got better, more ridiculous, more fun. I'm a storyline guy. I appreciate the in-ring work, of course, when they do something crazy, like Darby does his coffin drop, or Lance does his new version of the Razor's Edge backwards and shit. Like, I love all this stuff. But to me, it's about a good storyline. And I think you guys are doing a great one with this championship, the TNT championship. Tournament.
Thank you.
And that's going to be live, the last match between Cody and Lance.
That's going to be a double or nothing. So Cody versus Lance is going to be a double or nothing. So
it's on May 23rd, right?
That is on May 23rd. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
That's what we're here for. Cheers, brother.
Thank you, Johnny. I appreciate that. May 23rd. Yeah, it's going to be Lance versus Cody for the TNT Championship at double or nothing, and that's you know, first big match we've got announced, but there's a lot more coming here in the next week that we'll announce for Double or Nothing. And we're back with a live Dynamite on Wednesday, which I'm really excited about.
Oh, I'll be tuning in. That's awesome. I love what you guys are doing differently too than the, let's call it, the competition right now. The fact that you guys amidst COVID brought wrestlers around the ring as sort of an audience. I talked to Chris about this. I was like, it's so cool because I watched WrestleMania And no disrespect to the talent there, but they were playing to a crowd that wasn't, that was obviously not there, a lot of it. I loved the show, but that was my only criticism of WrestleMania. And I love the way that you guys are doing it, so that you're not playing to a crowd that's not there. You've found a way around that. Was that the talent figuring that out? Was that you or someone in the office saying something?
That was me. That was me. And the weekend after things shut down, I went back home, and I knew that we were not going to be going to Rochester, and I had to, postpone my show in Rochester, and we had a huge crowd there. And then the next week, we also had a big crowd in Newark, and we kind of had to postpone these shows and pivot. And I was looking for a way to do this. And to be honest, I looked for inspiration outside of wrestling. And I looked at what other people had done in empty studios. I watched the shows that Dave Letterman had done during Hurricane Sandy, which were great shows, and they were very good with what he did. And he had no audience, but it wasn't that wasn't what I was looking for. And then I watched like shows that people were doing during their early outbreak of COVID. And Jimmy Fallon was doing the show before he ended up moving to his house. He was still doing the show in the studio with the writers and the band as the audience. And that's where I got the idea, because I watched some of the other talk shows and I was like, what's missing here is an audience. And Jimmy has an audience. One of my really close friends actually is one of his writers. And he was one of those people in there laughing at the jokes. And then I was really inspired by it. And then we came back and I was like, this is what we're going to do. And then the next day, after thinking about it some more, I was like, okay, well, you know what? We could split them and have a baby face side and a heel side.
Yeah.
And then kind of spread them out.
That's kind of a football thing there too, right? You got the opposing teams. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like you got the two sidelines, exactly. And that was what I was going for with it. And then I texted, the guys, and I texted Cody and the Young Bucks and Kenny. I texted Chris and told them all that I had a great idea and it's kind of how I want to do it. And that's what we ended up doing for the next show. Like you said, March 18th was the first show without fans, and that's when we came out with the wrestlers in the audience. And I'm really glad you enjoyed last night's show.
I thought it was. They're all good. I'm not going to come on here and have you on my show and say, yeah, there's some not so ones. No, they're all good. But last night was exceptional in my eyes. I thought it was really building up to something exciting. I could see the curve in your writing and booking, as they call it, I guess, in there. So that's really cool. I've had Darby. I've talked to Chris. I had Jake on before he joined you guys. Jake the Snake, who's just killing it as a manager right now. It's really cool to see him get another opportunity after having such a turmoiled life, we'll call it. But another thing that they all talk about that you are doing different than the WWE is you're letting these guys kind of take control of their own character a little bit, and it shows that it gives them a little bit more, I don't want to say like heart in these characters and development.
Well, there has to be like
Darby.
An overall structure to it, but you don't want to like write like, dialogue that's not believable for that person, which is why I would never hand somebody a piece of paper and say like, I want you to say all this stuff, because I can't speak for Darby. None of us can speak for Darby. And
he's a good friend of mine now, but you can't speak for me. You don't know what's going on behind there a lot of the time.
No, and that's the genius of Darby is like a lot of the creative and there's videos and vignettes. Like Darby puts these things together. Like it needs an overall structure. And like you said, that's where the big picture booking comes in, and I really love doing that, and that's something I enjoy doing. And we have a great writing process, but I will say that like never do we write like a six paragraphs and hand it to somebody and say like, here, I need you to memorize these six paragraphs. No, it's like you need to know the important points, who you're wrestling, why you're wrestling them, why you might be upset, what day is the pay-per-view, when is a match, whatever you need to know.
The overall arc.
Yeah, exactly. But you don't need to tell somebody every word. There might be like lines that you're like, now if you say this, this could get a lot of heat, this could be good. And we do that all the time.
Yeah.
But that's the genius of it. And like, I think like, I really believe, like you said, letting the wrestlers like showcase their personalities instead of like trying to like chain their personalities down. Yeah. It's like something that like makes a the promos and all the talking segments and our
Dude,
stories
promos
feel more
are my favorite. I mean, that's what sold me on wrestling as a kid is the fucking promos. I mean, if you got a guy who can not only do it in the ring, but then gets in front of a camera and just says some awesome shit, you're gonna fall in love with that character. And you got, and I think the what your guys' approach is, I'm seeing a lot of cooler promos than some of the other competition, let's say. Like, there's the promos, as you pointed out, Darby's doing himself. He has a background in film school, so he's putting some real thought and production into these promos that, frankly, have never been seen before. And that goes back to you guys kind of lifting a little bit of the reins. So thank you for that as a fan.
Thanks, man. We have some really, really creative people that put together great stuff all the time. Chris put the Bubbly Bunch together. He's a genius.
Which is cool.
Brought the people in. And we just put it together, and, you know, this gave him the time, and Chris used his 3 minutes very, very well these past few weeks. And also just throughout the show, Chris, like we were talking about, him and Shivani have been an amazing team. This coming week, Chris is going to get back in the ring because that's really important, too. So Chris is going to be in a street fight. So it's Chris and Sammy Guevara, the Inner Circle, against Matt Hardy and Kenny Omega.
Okay.
In a street fight this week. That's going to be dope.
Yeah, live street fight, too. I can't wait to see that.
It's going to be really fun on live TV. And then John Moxley's coming back. He's wrestling Kazarian, Frankie Kazarian from SCU, who's like, what a great wrestler, Frankie Kazarian. What a great career he's had. And those two have never wrestled. And, you know, Frank's been a champion in AEW. You know, other than Moxley, Chris has only really lost SCU. When SCU beat Chris and Sammy, they haven't really lost much other than that match, and also Dustin Rhodes and Hangman did sneak one by. But Chris has only lost a couple matches in the whole almost a year since we've been here. So really, it's going to be...
You got to keep him as a heel, too. I mean, that's his best work.
I was just saying, I think, like, the Chris, even if he's really entertaining and the Bubbly Bunch is, like, really fun stuff, and if you think you like him, I mean, it doesn't mean he's not a dirty, cheating bastard. And so he can – yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and he's tremendous. He's still got the great in-ring work, too, there, so it makes it believable for all of us. All right,
it really does.
Well, we got so much more to get into. I thank you so much for this live time. For everyone at home, I'm going to say goodbye to you for now. Make sure you subscribe and follow so you don't miss the rest of this conversation. I'm going to dive into a little bit more of Tony. That was just the facial shit. We're going to get some deeper shit. I want to know a little bit more about this guy and where he fucking came from. Let's get into that shit, okay? So, again, everybody, hit the subscribe button down right here. Follow us here. I don't know if he's actually my director's sending shit out or not, but yeah, Drinks with Johnny on Instagram and Twitter, drinkswithjohnny.com. You know where to find us. As always, till next time, cheers.
And that'll just about do it for this week's episode of Drinks with Johnny. Thank you so much to Tony Khan, and thanks to all of you guys for checking out this episode. Now, I forgot to mention that earlier this week on AEW's Dynamite, that's on TNT every Wednesday night, they celebrated Negative One's birthday. Happy birthday to Negative One. And that was just a really cool moment. I think the whole thing that they're doing for John Huber and bringing his family in and after his untimely passing, I think has been really cool. It's a very hard thing to do, and building it into the booking on the wrestling and making it a cool thing for his family, I think was a very respectable thing to do. So kudos to everyone at All Elite Wrestling for doing that. You guys, as I said, can tune in to All Elite's Dynamite on Wednesday nights on TNT. Check your local school listings for that. Having so much fun with this, guys. Thank you so much for all the support. Make sure you're subscribing to this podcast, the YouTube channel, and following us everywhere on social media. That's Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. We got a lot of cool things coming up for you guys. A lot of really cool announcements, a lot of really cool guests that we're already scheduling right now. I think that some of them are going to be a really big surprise for you guys. You're going to really have something to look forward to on season 3, happening February 15th as it stands right now. We'll see if we get it in on time. We got some really cool news probably coming to you next week. So make sure you tune in again next week, and we'll see you then. Till next time, cheers.